You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
One of the names mentioned in the text is Ahab. Historically, he was the son of Omri, and he was married to Jezebel. Simply put, Jezebel was a fanatical queen. She was not only passionate when it came to sinning, but she was polytheistic in her worship. She did not believe in worshiping one God. She believed in worshiping whatever God would do for her what she desired. Simply put, she was demonic when it came to her worship. She worshiped demons or the devil. Ahab was an evil king. As a matter of fact, let's look at a little of what the scripture has to say about Ahab. Notice 1 Kings 16, and we'll start at verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. I'm in 1 Kings 16, verse 30. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. He married the wrong person. He married a demon-possessed woman and felt like it was okay. How many know we have to watch our relationships? Want to hook up with somebody that's about something? That's what we need to do, right? Especially someone that loves the Lord. Is that imperative? Y'all were a little slow to answer. But he married the wrong woman. Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. And the boy was so love really ain't the right word. He was basically infatuated with Jezebel. She had his nose wide open. He knew it was right to worship Jehovah only. He knew he was supposed to be monotheistic in his worship. But because of the relationship he had with Jezebel, he decided to be polytheistic. And he went overboard to prove to her that he didn't mind serving another God. Notice what he did. 1 Kings 16 and 32. Well, no. Let me back up to 31. I want you to get the full picture. Now notice the latter part of 31. He took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Now, this is what makes me mad about Ahab. He didn't build Jehovah a temple. But because he was infatuated with Jezebel, he built a temple for Baal. Isn't it amazing how you have some folk that have give God the praise? Don't treat God the way they should treat God. But you see them outside God's church. See them at a football game. See them somewhere else, and they are putting their all into it. You'd be amazed. You'd be like, Lord, I didn't know she could do such and such like that. She's so quiet in the church. This where she get her praise on. Somebody actually said to me recently that they saw a particular person at a basketball game and say they didn't even recognize who it was. Say, because they are so reserved in church. And I just said, really? But how many know if we're going to give anyone our all, it should be God? As a matter of fact, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your being, your soul, your spirit, and your body. You have to give God your all, or you should give God your all if you really appreciate him. How many don't mind giving God the glory because he's worthy? He built a false god, a temple, and worshiped him. Raised in the church. Raised according to the ways of Yahweh. But change gods because of a woman. I just wish I had an actual portrait of Jezebel. I know she was wicked, but I would love to see a portrait of Jezebel. I would love to see a woman that basically caused the man to go crazy. Now, I have seen it in our day and time. And in most cases, I was just not impressed. Oh, I can't believe he putting God third, fourth, a fifth. Oh no. But how many know no matter how beautiful he or she is, God still should be first? No matter how tight you are with your spouse, no matter how tight you are with somebody else, God still should be first. No matter how dedicated you are to your job, no matter how loyal you are to this, that, or the other, God still should be first. Say to somebody, nobody should come before Yahweh. Y'all didn't say it with enough authority. One more time. No one. He has to be number one in your life. Nobody should get more praise than Yahweh. Nobody should get more respect than Jehovah. Nobody should get the glory that's due to his name the way God gets it from you. How many believe that? Wait a minute, keep them hands up. I want to see you. That way if I ever show up at a game, I'll see. Listen to this. And verse 33 of 1 Kings 16. And Ahab made a wooden image. And this is a thing right here. And did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. It takes something to make a loving God mad. God can tolerate more than we can imagine. But whenever you hear about God being provoked or made angry about something, whoever the person is that made God, or was that made God angry, is in trouble. Say to your neighbor, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. There's some folk in here, I know you can beat me if we get to fighting physically. I know you'll take me out. It ain't even no question about it. You probably won't even have to throw but one punch and I'll be down. But I would rather fight you physically than to go up against God. I would rather be triple teamed, kicked to the curb, rather than face God. He made God angry. And the Lord used a man by the name of Elijah to express to Ahab just how fed up he was with him. Let me talk about Elijah before I tell you what he said to Ahab. Elijah was deemed a Tishbite, or native of Tisba. He was of the tribe of Gilead. One meaning of Gilead is rough. When you consider that Isaiah may have been from the rough side of Gilead, knew about tough times, knew about difficulty, knew about dealing with trouble, trials, and such. And I think that may be the case, especially when you understand the ministry of Elijah. Because Elijah often found himself in a rough place. He often found himself in a place where it took God to bring him out. It took God to reach down and just pull him to safety. But Elijah was monotheistic in his worship. He was sold out to Jehovah. He loved God with his total being. As a matter of fact, the meaning of his name is Yahweh is my God. I wonder if that could be the meaning of your name, that Yahweh or Jesus or Jehovah is your God. If so, tell somebody that could be the meaning of my name, because I only have one God. Yeah, I don't only have one God. I don't have a God in the form of a screen. I don't allow my television to come before my God. I don't allow what I want to see on the screen to come before me getting down before my God, Jehovah. I only have one God. Are you still with me? Say to someone again, if it be true, I only have. Finish it. You didn't say it loud enough. Let's try it one more time. I only and his name is Jehovah. And I worship him. I worship him in the church and outside of the church. I apply his rules to my life in the church as well as outside the church. I worship him only. If he tells me to do something, I don't argue, I don't fuss, I just obey his will, because he is my God, he is my master, he is my personal savior, he is my redeemer, he is the one that was and that is to come, he is the one that I trust to redeem me, the one that I trust to restore me, the one that I trust to do for me what needs to be done. Am I talking about your God? He loved God. And in the day and time we're living in, it says something when you decree that God is the only one that you serve. Because like it or not, we have people that have offices in the church that serve more than one God. We have folks that minister from the pulpit that have more than one God. But when you can stand flat-footed and say that I love and serve God only, you are saying something. And so the word of the Lord was embedded in the being of Elijah. It was a word based upon the text that was not for a congregation, was not for a multitude. The word was specifically for Ahab. Now, this is the thing, because Ahab was the king of Israel, though the word was for him, the word would affect the entire nation. Everybody was going to suffer or go through it because of a rotten or evil king. Notice the first verse of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, notice the prophecy, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. See, Ahab had started trusting in the words of Baal and the false prophets of Baal. And remember, he had provoked God. So now, the Lord decides to bring a famine on the land. Ahab knew if no rain shows up, that means there's going to be great suffering in the nation. And one of the things they depended on the false god Baal for was rain. God had to show them, you ain't serving nothing but an idol. You done built a temple. You done spent my money. on a wicked God that can't move, can't talk, can't see, because he's pseudo. Elijah didn't hold back. And notice, Elijah told him the only way it's going to change is by my word. God was going to give to Elijah when to speak rain, for rain to come forth. Why is that? Because God does nothing except he reveals his secrets, his plan to his servants, the prophets. Is that Amos 3:7? And so Ahab probably looked at him, and no doubt he felt the Shekinah. He felt the presence of God when the prophecy came forth. And when you feel the anointing of God, you can say, oh, you just talking. You can say whatever you want. But when the presence of God, or the anointing of God is present and God speaks a word, you can look for it to come to fruition. You can look for a manifestation of what God has decreed. And so then the Lord told Elijah, separate yourself from Ahab and everybody else. I want you to go eastward to the brook Cherith. Get away from folk. He knows you're the only one that can change the prophecy. Get away. Hide yourself. Because he's going to be looking for you. The text does not say it, but no doubt when the famine hit and the suffering started taking place, Ahab probably sent people to the north, south, east, and west looking for Elijah. But again, the Lord said, go. And hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Don't tell none of your kinfolk. Because Ahab will send somebody there to torture them. To find out where you are. Don't tell any of your associates. Let this be between the two of us. Took him to Cherith, or the place of separation. Separate yourself from folk. And how many know God will give you a word that will cause you to sever relationships? Give you a word that will cause you to separate yourself from certain folk. That's the problem with some of us. God has given us a word, but we have not obeyed the word. He has told you that you need to separate yourself if you're going to be better. You need to separate yourself if you're going to accomplish this, that, or the other, but you don't want to obey God's word. But say to your neighbor, if you want to be blessed, you often have to separate yourself. Say to another person, if you expect this particular blessing, it's going to take separating yourself from folk that don't want what God has. I don't know about you. I don't want to be around nobody that does not want the blessings of God. I don't want to be around nobody that does not expect God to do what eyes have not seen and what ears have not heard. I want to be around somebody that has a kindred spirit. Somebody that's believing God to do everything he said. Plus, I wonder if you have a kindred spirit. I wonder if you are expecting God to do something the way I'm expecting God to do it. I wonder if you are expecting God to turn some things around for you despite the season, despite what's taking place in the land. Am I talking about you? told him, he said, when you get there, you ain't gonna have to worry about provision. The famine is going to be hard, but you're not going to have to worry about provision. I'm going to allow water to remain in the brook just for you. He was going to allow something literal to keep happening just for Elijah. A natural thing to keep happening. Something that should have ceased, but it didn't, because of the hand of God. How many know his hand represents his omnipotence? God has all power. I'm going to let this brook continue to flow. God will bless you so when you obey his word, to where you will get a check, but you won't even have to cash the check and use it. You will cash it just to put it in the bank. Ooh, look at how y'all look when I said that. Do you not know your God can do anything save hell? God will allow your tires to last longer than ordinary. You need to replace your roof, but God said, I'm going to let this awful looking roof remain for 3 more years until I bless you financially. He'll call something natural to last for your sake. Spread the news. God will call something natural. I thought it would have quit by now, but it's still running. Yeah, I done picked up weight, but I can still wear. It ain't nothing but the grace. Is it, Pastor? You ought to be ashamed. Not so. When Israel left Egypt, God allowed the clothes that they had to last while they were in the wilderness. God is not just the God of the supernatural. He is the God of the natural. He will bless you with a good natural job. God can do anything, save, fail. Do you believe that? Shall I believe that? But then he says something unheard of. I've had a conversation with the ravens. It's not a family. The birds. I've had a conversation with some meat-eating birds. I know they're vultures. I know they're greedy. And if they see meat, they'll think about themselves. But you don't have to worry about that, Elijah, because I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Elijah was not a supernatural being. He had feelings, thoughts. He wondered about things and so forth. If anybody tells you, including God, that a crow is going to bring you something to eat, a wondering is going to happen. If I tell you as a prophet of God, you can expect a red bird to bring you something from Captain D's this evening. You're probably, okay, Pastor. Pastor, I got to go. I'll see you, Pastor. And so, just being a human being, naturally, it would be hard to receive that. See, that's the reason we have to understand our makeup as Christians. See, when you are a Christian, you have to understand that, yes, I am natural, but I'm also a new creature. Yes, I am weak in some areas, but I'm also more than a conqueror. Yes, I am limited, but I have a God that is unlimited. If you don't know who you are in Christ, some things that he tells you in the midnight hour or early in the morning, they'll blow your mind. You will wonder whether or not God is real or not. You have to have your act together in order to believe some of the things that God tells you. Say to your neighbor, because God will tell you some unbelievable things. He'll tell you some things that have never been done before. He'll tell you some things that will cause hairs on a bald head to stand up. You have to be conscious of God. You have to recognize that God will tell you something that you won't hear from normal folk. He'll tell you something that just in a normal conversation, you'll think is crazy, and it ain't no way. But when it comes to God, there is nothing too hard for him. When it comes to God, he can do the impossible. When it comes to God, he is known for showing up and showing out. When it comes to God, he can do anything save fail. I wish you would high-five three folks and tell them, God'll do it, God'll do it, God'll do it. It may sound crazy, but God'll do it, God'll do it, God'll do it. Have the Lord ever told you something that sounded crazy, but you believed his word because you were God conscious? Has he ever told you something in the midnight hour that caused you to get out of the bed and to start giving him the praise? Has he ever told you something in the midst of your trials that caused you to start turning in victory and saying, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen? Say to your neighbor, God will tell you things that are crazy. Oh, but don't limit him. If he tell you something crazy and you know it's God, you need to get your shout on. You need to get your praise on, because God is the only one I know that can back up crazy talk. Say to your neighbor, he'll back up crazy talk. Credit shot, but he said, I'm going to get you the house anyhow. He'll back up the crazy talk. You ain't got no money in the bank, and you barely make minimum wage, but I'm still going to bless you with your heart's desire. He'll back up crazy talk. Somebody spread the news and tell some folk, God will back up crazy talk. That's the reason you in this church right here. Somebody believe that God would back up his crazy talk. That's
That's the reason the parking lot is paved. Somebody believe God with backup crazy talk. That's the reason we have an MSW center. That's the reason we have churches everywhere else. That's the reason we have them in Noonan. That's the reason we have it in Thomaston. Because God backs up crazy talk. Look at the person beside you. There are people that said they never would amount to anything. But God said they would, and that's how God backs up crazy. All right, sit down, sit down. Listen to this. Listen to this. I don't know what Elijah's first response was mentally or verbally. It's not mentioned in the text. But he had to wonder. That's just natural from a human standpoint. But look at this. Look at what happened. I want you to see this. Good God. Look at this right here. 1 Kings 17:4. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. It was crazy, but he went to the brook. When you get a word that sounds crazy, and you obey it, you have opened up the door for God to do what your eyes have not seen. You have opened up the door for God to do something that is unheard of. When he heard that word and then he obeyed the word, he opened up the door for God to do the unheard of. Oh God, I hope you recognize that the message is bigger than the text. When you hear a word, that's seemingly impossible or unheard of, but you are conscious that it's God talking to you, and you obey that word, you're opening up the door for God to do something unheard of for you. Ask your neighbor, is your door open yet? I know the doctor done said this, but I'm believing God for something unheard of. I know they say it ain't never been done before, but my God can do anything. Say, I'm looking for something unheard of. How many are looking for something unheard of? Folk will tell you, ain't nobody never done that before. Yeah, but they wasn't depending on God either. He went. And when he got there, he drank from the brook. I don't know if he got there in the morning or in the evening. But notice the text says that the ravens brought him provision. Some meat and some bread. But notice, twice a day. In the morning and in the evening. Can you imagine? Here come ravens. bringing the food. In the morning and in the evening. You know, the only thing we don't notice in the text is who prepared the food. Doesn't go into detail about that. Just sticks to the unheard of. Say to your neighbor, two times a day. Is that what the text said? In the and in? Just like clockwork. Morning, evening. Say to your neighbor, two is the number of testimony. Elijah, I'm not doing the unheard of just to be doing it. I'm giving you a testimony. How many know testimonies are bigger than us? If God does something for you, He wants you to tell somebody else about it. They might think I'm bragging. It don't matter what they think. If God does something for you, tell it. If He bless you with a job, if He bless you with a degree, tell it. Don't hold in what God did for you. Say to your neighbor, if you got a testimony, you need to tell it. Because if you don't tell it, you won't get another one. How many know the reason you're blessed, if you're a child of God, is to give God the glory, to testify about it? That car that you got, that you know God gave you, because you know you couldn't have gotten it naturally with your credit, you need to tell folk about it. But some of us won't. Some of us want folks to think certain things happen because of our strength. Or because of your own strength. But how many, there are things that you have received that the only one that could have caused them to come into being was God. Look around you now. Now hold that hand up. Keep that hand up. Did you testify to somebody about it? Now some of you did. How you know that? Because that's what God is saying. And that's the reason you hadn't received certain things in a while. Testifying of the goodness of God is important to Him. When you read the scripture, the scriptures are basically testimonies as to what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. That's what it's about. If God blesses you with something spiritually, materially, financially, and so forth, He expects for you to tell it. So folks will recognize that He is who He has decreed. He has said He would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. But somebody that has experienced that needs to tell it. He said He would make us the head and not the tail. We'll live above only and never beneath. But somebody that is experiencing that needs to tell it. He said He blessed us in the country, in the city, and so forth. Somebody that has experienced that needs to tell it. Say the two folk, tell it. Listen to this. Gave him an unheard of testimony. And the reason I'm preaching or teaching this message, I don't think y'all are going to help me out. You ain't there yet, are you? Say to your neighbor, the reason Pastor is teaching this is because God wants us to open up the door so he can do something for us unheard of. How many receive that? I'm done. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise.
Thank you for listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. Please stop by our website for more information on our church at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.